Our final reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, and contains the same theme as the other two. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. In this portion of 1 Corinthians, it's a little bit different reason for God holding back his wisdom than it was for Samuel or for the disciples. For Samuel, his expectations got in the way of God's plan. For the disciples, they weren't ready yet to receive the Lord's plan. Paul tells the Corinthians here that God's wisdom is withheld because of their inability to understand it. In verse 11, Paul speaks of growing in maturity just as a young child grows into an adult. In verse 12, Paul speaks of being able to see something partially, but not completely. These descriptions apply to our lives because we are sinners. Ultimately, no matter how strong in our faith we are, no matter how mature we are, no matter how wise, no matter how much we think we know about God, we're still sinful. And as sinners, that picture of God's wisdom is ultimately going to be blurred while here on this earth. In this sense, we've come full circle this morning in our study because we began this morning with our confession, at least, by looking at the thoughts of Psalm 14. In that psalm, David doesn't hold back. There is none who does righteous, not even one. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. All are corrupt. No matter who we are, we fit in what David says. The thing is, in 1 Corinthians 13 here, that's not what most people think of in connection with this section. Perhaps this thought of puzzling nature comes to your mind as well, because you know 1 Corinthians 13 as the famous chapter of love. It's most often used on joyous occasions like weddings, not at times to teach us about the reality of our sin. Some of the most memorable depictions of love in the Bible are contained in this chapter. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own, is not provoked. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. These things are all true. And oftentimes this chapter is used solely for the purpose of teaching us what Christian love is, and sometimes for the purpose of patting ourselves on the back for thinking that we've loved in such ways. But every sentiment of beauty and love expressed in this chapter is ultimately governed by one sentence that most people forget. In verses 9 and 10, Paul says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away." Paul's whole point in this chapter, even in describing love, is a reminder of our sin. Like all aspects of God's law, it's a harsh reminder that we haven't measured up to what God demands. And Paul says what we're waiting for is for the perfect to come. That's when things will become clear. That's when the partial will fade away. That's when we'll be able to love as God describes here. Not that we've accomplished it already and that we can feel good about ourselves for having loved like this. That's not the purpose at all. Paul says, I want you to look forward to a time when the perfect will arrive. And that's through Jesus. Paul's lesson here about why we struggle and why we ask the wrong questions sometimes for the wrong reasons goes back to our sin. That's a bitter pill to swallow in our lives, because we want to insist as Christians that we are on a different level than others. We want to believe that we have loved better, that we are a little bit more adept at understanding and accomplishing God's will than the rest of the fallen world. And yet God puts us on the same level at the end of the day. We're sinners. We have access to God's knowledge through the Bible, but that's like looking into a fuzzy mirror. It's like being able to see a partial understanding of what's there, but not being able to see the whole thing. And so that same question comes to the surface. Why would God do such a thing? Why would God conceal the meaning of true wisdom, in fact, the meaning of true love from us? Because of our sin. The reason that God does this is to point not to ourselves, but to Jesus. When we lack understanding, when we have a need, when we see how we haven't measured up, when we recognize with honesty our faults and our failings, we recognize our need. And God drives us to that point in His Word, not to make us feel bad and horrible about our lives, but to remind us that He's supplied that need in Jesus. It's a tempting thing to avoid, like the disciples did perhaps, of wanting to turn every which way and direction other than Jesus, other than the need that is right before us because of our sins. It's tempting, but God says, avoid it. And notice how Paul describes the hope that we have in verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. The way that Paul describes having Jesus is not being able to show the rest of the world how much better we are than they are. But instead, it's able to the ability to rejoice in our hearts that we can look at ourselves the same way that Jesus looks at us. That now we know in part, now we get a little bit of a picture of what we are in Christ, a little bit of God's plan and vision of heaven, not the entire thing yet, but in Jesus, God says we will see ourselves as He sees us. That's the perfection that Paul's talking about. That's how we know that we've come to true Christian love, is knowing Jesus, not knowing ourselves. The things that we expect in life, the things that we want, the things that we desire, the opinions that we have, all the other trappings in our lives that would lead us away from God, beckon us to focus on ourselves. But God says our hope is completely independent of who we are. And it's completely dependent on Jesus. So yes, when it comes to our wisdom and understanding, we may be outside the loop sometimes. There will be things that God is doing in our lives that we are not aware of. There will be times when we can't fully perceive the wisdom and understanding of God, even when it's revealed to us in His Word. Jesus might keep you in the dark at times for your own good. Those harsh truths sometimes can cause us to ask the wrong questions, to demand things of God, to be accusatory instead of trusting. Those harsh realities sometimes can cause us to look for the wrong reasons for our faith, to think that God wants to leave us in despair or takes pleasure in our suffering and pain. And throughout the whole Bible, we see the same thing over and over again. Consider those people that we covered today: King David, Samuel, the 12 disciples, the Apostle Paul. Each and every one of those individuals, to some extent, had a direct, sometimes even visible, revelation from God. Some of them were even connected to Jesus while He was here on earth. Some of them were inspired writers by the Holy Spirit of the Word of God. And you know what? They struggled too. They saw God. They touched God. They listened to God. And they struggled too. If it happened to them, if they felt those emotions that we feel as sinners, if they struggled with the same problems that we endure, if they at times asked the wrong questions for the wrong reasons, let's not be surprised if it happens to us. The hope that we have in Jesus is not about receiving a direct revelation from God. It's not about being able to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him directly. Our hope in Jesus is not about walking and talking with Him here on earth. Our hope is not about having every question answered to the full extent. Our hope is not about prosperity or popularity in the world and in material or emotional things. Hope comes down to one thing. one person, and that's Jesus. Finding Jesus in His Word. When you look in the Word and God reveals His Son to you, you will find some of those hard things that come along with it. Some of those things that lead us to trust Jesus. Some of the ways in which Jesus, like the disciples, might be gently leading us along in our ignorance and weakness. You're going to see those things in God's Word. You're going to see those things that are hard to read about, that are difficult to understand. You're going to have questions in your minds. But you're also going to see Jesus. Hope is not about having everything figured out in our lives. Hope is about the faith to trust that Jesus does, that His way is best, that even when unknown to you, it's accomplishing eternal good for your life. It's leading you to eternal perfection in heaven with Him when all wisdom will be known. And ultimately, understanding who we are in the fullest sense. Hope in Jesus is about not seeing things on our terms, not asking the questions that we demand of God, but it's about seeing as God's own Son does. And most importantly, seeing our lives as God's Son does. As sinners corrupted with foolishness, with ignorance, with rebellion, but also saints who are redeemed and bought back by His precious blood. That's who we are today. And that's how Jesus sees us today. Our hope by faith in Him is that we too will see it as He does. God grant it by His grace and love in His Son. Amen. Please rise.